about. But when you think about salvation and the miracle it is that God would save us, and any soul being saved, whether it's young, old, or whatever your background is a pretty amazing thing. And we ought to be excited to hear other people's testimony of salvation and how God brought them to that point of salvation. And that's an exciting thing. And since, in light of the testimonies we heard tonight, I'm going to preach on baptism and looking at what the Bible says. And I realize it's a big topic, and we don't have the time tonight to cover everything, but I want to look specifically at our identity with Christ through baptism. And it was mentioned in at least one of the testimonies about how baptism identifies us outwardly with Jesus Christ. I often explain to people, and it's not original with me, but baptism is an outward identification of an inward transaction of faith. And that's exactly how the Bible presents baptism, and looking at our identity with Christ, not just in the mode of baptism, but as well in some other areas that we're going to look at. And first of all, I'd like to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Some people have used the analogy of a wedding ring with baptism, how a wedding ring is put on as a symbol of a marriage covenant. And just because you take a ring off or lose it, you know, I've heard stories of mostly guys losing their wedding ring, or for one reason or another, maybe some a difference in weight, you know, might affect whether a ring fits or not. But just because you wear a ring or don't wear a ring doesn't make you married, because the marriage is the actual covenanting together between a man and a woman. But the ring symbolizes to everybody else who doesn't know you that you are in a committed relationship. And same with baptism. Baptism doesn't save you, but it is symbolic of the transaction of faith, the salvation that has inwardly taken place, because nobody can see faith. But we can see the act of baptism. So you're in Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look first of all at verses 3 and 4 and see our identity with Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. In verse 3 of Romans 6, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And that death, burial, and resurrection that Jesus Christ went through was the gospel, the picture of our salvation. And the Bible presents baptism as identification with that, the death and the burial going under the water and the resurrection coming up out of the water. And the mode might seem insignificant, you know, the heart is the main thing, you might say, but I think it is an important identification, because we don't get to make our own rules. You know, it's not just religion. It's not just whatever you come up with, and whoever wants to do it your way, then do it that way. No, we're trying to follow what the Bible says. And, you know, I know there's religions that have different ideas about baptism and what it does and how it's to be done. But I remember reading a article, I think it was, or a book by someone who had gone through all secular literature through the first century and looked at the use of baptizo, which is the Greek word for baptism, and looked in non-sacred literature, in other words, outside of the Bible, and saw the use of that word in the common vernacular. And it was often used in the textile industry when somebody was going to dye a piece of wool or some garment, they would baptize it. And the idea was to dip, or, you know, if you had a water basin here, you would stick that cloth in there to completely change the color. You wouldn't just pour some water on it or whatever dye you were using or sprinkle water on there. So, in other words, the common man walking down the street, if they heard the term baptizo or baptism as we know it, what would come to mind is that picture of dipping or immersing. And the point of that article was to prove that this isn't, you know, in a non-religious setting, this is the idea of the word. And that was the idea behind the word baptism, that it meant to dip or to immerse. And the point for doing that is to identify with Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. But Romans 6 verse 4 gives us a purpose as well. At the end there, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So its identification is with Jesus Christ is really the purpose for the act of baptism. And there's another aspect of identification with Christ. If you turn to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, and at the end of Matthew chapter 3, we have the account of Jesus' baptism. And then Matthew chapter 4 goes into his temptation in the wilderness. And that's the second point of identification with Christ. When you get baptized, it's a spiritual decision. And the target on your back by the devil gets even bigger, because he knows he can't take your soul, but he can make you ineffective. And here Jesus, after just being baptized, verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." And we're not going to look at the whole temptation account there of Jesus and the devil, but I know it's very true from personal experience and seen in other people that when they make a decision to be baptized and identify with Jesus Christ after their salvation, it comes with a cost. And I know there's accounts of people, particularly in the Middle East, who put their faith in Jesus Christ, and their family's okay with that. But when they get baptized, that's the cutoff line, because now they are publicly identifying. You know, you can be saved and kind of keep it secret. Like I said, nobody can see your faith, but I do believe that when you get saved, you know, there's something changes. You're a new creature. But that act of baptism and identification with Jesus Christ is an important step. And the devil knows that. And he doesn't want you to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. He wants you to just, you know, since you're saved, he can't take your soul, but he can get you to just be ineffective as a Christian. Another point of identification with Christ is in our life and our lifestyle. Surrender. When we are baptized, we are publicly surrendering our life to Jesus Christ and following him, saying what Jesus has commanded and done is what I am going to pursue. And of course, we all know that there's no perfect baptismal candidate. Nobody's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to obey all the rules perfectly, because we're all sinners. And it's not that somebody who wants to be baptized means that now they've reached some platitude of Christianity that they can never fall, or they'll never disobey, they'll never make a wrong choice. That's not it. But it's the person saying, I want to publicly show my allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And of course, I didn't really mention this, but with baptism throughout the scripture, you see those that were baptized were being baptized on a profession of their faith. And it wasn't for the means of the washing of their sins. It was on the basis of their sins already been forgiven by Jesus Christ. But with a change in life and lifestyle, a committed lifestyle of surrender to Jesus Christ, it's also a life of separation. When you say, I am following Jesus Christ, by inference, you're turning your back on the world. Now, we all live in the world. We all interact with unsaved people. We all make secular choices at work. And, you know, when we go to the grocery store, there's things, not every decision you make is spiritual in its nature. But somebody who says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, means that when you take that step and make that decision, now you are committing in a public setting to a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. And you can be saved and not baptized because, you know, like I said, and the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. The washing of our sins is through the blood of Jesus Christ, but baptism is a step of commitment to surrender and to be separated from the world and to be unashamedly identified not only with Christ, but also with other believers who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. And that's the fourth point of identification I want to look at, is identifying with God's people, the church. If you turn to Acts chapter 2, of course, this is the account of Pentecost and people being saved, which was a tremendous day in the history of the church. But there's an important verse here, verse 41 and 42, that I want to look at of Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they, those that were baptized, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. So, the people that were baptized were identified with that church there in Jerusalem, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or the teaching that the apostles taught. That was the doctrine that they were identifying with. And they were identifying in their fellowship and in breaking of bread. In other words, the idea here is when you eat dinner with somebody, and I know Pastor has mentioned this before, it's a symbol of friendship and fellowship. And they were identifying with the apostles and their doctrine, their teaching, and in their actual fellowship. And one thing that I think a lot of people neglect to consider about baptism is it's more than just a religious ritual. It's more than just getting wet. It's more than just doing it because everybody else is doing it or because the Bible talks about it. You are recognizing this is a doctrine, a set of doctrine that is found in the Bible, and not a doctrine that is man-based or based on something else, but it's doctrine that is found in the Bible, and I am committing to following that doctrine that is taught in the Bible. The key is it Bible-based? That's really the key. And here in Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, they were surrendering to follow the apostles' doctrine and in their fellowship. So they were identifying not just with Jesus Christ, but they were also identifying with his people, the apostles, the other church, the people there at the church of Jerusalem, because there's so many people that I talk to and hear that they don't have a proper understanding of what the Bible says about baptism because they have either been taught incorrectly or they have assumptions that they've actually never studied what the Bible says about. And that's why it's important to teach from the Bible, because when you stand up and preach, you know, people expect, you know, people actually listen and they expect that what you're saying is founded on the Bible. But it's always good to personally look and see, well, what does the Bible say? Because the Bible is our authority for faith and practice. And like I said, there's so many things that could be said about baptism and many different aspects about it, and I can't necessarily talk about them all, but I want to specifically look at our identification through baptism with Jesus Christ and our lifestyle and the people that we identify with. It's not just, well, we'll get baptized because it's something the Bible says. In the Bible, Acts chapter 2, they were baptized and continued in the apostles' doctrine. They were committing to a set of teachings that were based on the Bible. And it wasn't just they did this because Paul or Peter told them to. They did this because it was something that God had commanded. So there's nothing magical about baptism per se, but it is a step of obedience, and because of that, it brings us into God's blessing and God's power. It's a step of obedience, and because baptism is an identification with Christ, which then leads us to live a different way. You know, if you never commit to following Jesus Christ and saying, you know what, I'm going to count the costs and realize that people might misunderstand me. I'm going to realize that people may not always appreciate what I believe about other things that the Bible says, but I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Whatever he wants to do with my life, I'm willing to let him do that. When we recognize that this is what baptism is about, it's not just, okay, I'm baptized, now it's over with. No, baptism is you symbolizing that now I am committed to Jesus Christ, and people know it, and they're going to hold me accountable. They know that I've committed my life to following Jesus Christ, and now I'm going to have to live that. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." And in the context of giving the Great Commission, baptism was a part of that. They were to teach, they were to baptize, they were to go and teach people. This is a reproducible commission that Jesus Christ has given us to go and do these things. But he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." It's not just about, okay, I'm going to do this. Jesus is right there with you. Baptism is something that God takes note of. You know, it's something that God has commanded, and he wants us to do that because it's our commitment to live a life that is following Jesus Christ. And it's not the forgiveness of our sins, like 1 Peter 3 says, it's an answer of a clean conscience to God, knowing that the people in this world, by and large, are not for God. They're not going to encourage you to live for God and live according to the Bible. But when we decide to follow Jesus Christ through baptism and do it the Bible way, now we're putting ourselves in a pathway of God's blessing. But we're also putting ourselves in a position where Satan is going to try to get us to fall. He's going to try to get us to waver from that commitment because he doesn't want people, he doesn't want Christians and believers to be committed followers of Jesus Christ. He would rather have you saved and just, you know, doing your own thing than saved, baptized, following Jesus Christ and living for him. And that's where Satan would have you, but God would want you to be in the center of his will. God would want you to be committed to following him, because after all, what else do we have to live for in life? When we get to the end of our life and all we've done is, you know, who knows? And nothing we have to show before God. But when we follow Jesus Christ here and now, wherever you are, you know, whatever your background is, however old you are, you can decide, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ and obey what the Bible says. And you'll see that it's a pathway to God's blessing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you have shown us, Lord, what we need to do. And I thank you for the salvation that you offer, Lord. And I pray that you would help each one of us here, Lord, and whatever our spiritual condition is, that we would consider it. And, Lord, ask ourselves what we need to do, Lord, if we are saved and baptized. I pray that you would help us to consider that commitment that we have made, Lord. And if there's an area that we need to change because of that, I pray that you would give us the strength and the wisdom to do that. Lord, if any here maybe are contemplating that decision to follow you, I pray that you would make that clear in their minds, Lord, what you would have them to do. And Lord, I pray for any who may not be saved sitting here tonight. Lord, you love them more than any of us here. And I pray that you would give them that illumination to see their need for salvation and to know your love in a real way. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.